Hey, this is Rob Motti. Thank you for listening to Faith on the Field Show. Please make sure to subscribe to the show, rate, review, and share. This episode is brought to you by Heritage's Dairy Stores. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, Doug Horton, and Remy. And as you are listening to this show, I am probably laying on a beach somewhere right now, hopefully.
Tough life.
Hopefully it's 80 degrees in St. Pete, but I'm not sure because it could be
60.
Like, yeah, last March was the worst March in my 19 years going to Florida. So hopefully as you guys are listening to this, I'm relaxing somewhere on a beach, trying to really just refresh myself and get you all ready for the rest of season two of Faith on the Field Show. But somebody's got to really take time away, and you know,
you do. I agree. Someone has to do it.
You got
to
refresh.
Someone has to go down to Florida and then watch some of the Phillies preseason.
Can't wait to mix in a little bit of baseball,
and
mix in a lot of my goal.
Of family time.
Yeah, my goal this time is to leave the phone in the car. I'm not going to say I'm not going to take it out.
Okay,
in the car?
To bet that's not going to
happen? Not on the beach. not on the beach. In the car. I'm just going to try and go hours at a time. Like, I want to actually take a literal vacation. You know how hard it is to turn off technology and life?
Yeah.
It's the right thing to do. I'll, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'll respect that. You know,
just
make sure you text me when you get back to the car.
There's
a lot of things going on.
Stop texting my husband on vacation. Seriously, man.
Listen, we move forward. April's going to be sweet back on Faith in the Field.
It's going
to
be.
Tell me how good it is to be able to take your family with you, though. And that's what a blessing to be able to take your girls, to take your wife, to be able to have that time.
You know, it really is an incredible blessing to be able, because the girls have been looking forward to it and and every day is like, how many more days? And this is what they say. How many more days until you wake us up in the middle of a night and put us in the car and it's like you're kidnapped and take us to Florida. No, wait, they say, and take us to the hotel, because first we stop at a hotel the first night.
Beautiful.
They get excited about the hotel stop.
Because
mommy
gives
them
gifts and presents.
Yeah. And then it's awesome. To Florida. Yeah. So they count down the time, but I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to do this. They're in kindergarten. And next year they're in first grade. Now we can get away with it. I don't know if you can pull kids out.
Embrace
for a month.
This moment, bro.
Yeah.
Embrace this moment.
I know. It's the best feeling. So maybe we're gonna have to homeschool them, babe, because you know that's how you gotta do it.
As long as you're the teacher, I'm in.
I think Dougie will give us some input on that, huh? What do you think? Little homeschool action? No, that's not for you.
He doesn't homeschool.
I know, but I want to get some input from an educator.
We got to make sure you got the right curriculum. You got to make sure that there's a lot of great programs that are out there that integrate the kids that are homeschooled into different programs.
And into the municipality, into the township, into all this. I always go, Tim Tebow is my ultimate example.
Wait,
he was homeschooled.
But do I have to be a teacher?
You don't always have to be.
I'm not a teacher.
There actually is really some good curriculum out there, Remy, now that has much more video, much more students being taught through expressions, and so many co-ops.
That's where you can actually go and learn with other kids. So it's actually like you're taken to like a weekday school to learn some of the subjects that you're not really strong in.
Well, and part of that is
I don't know the reason is just to take them to Florida.
Do you want to be able to take your kids to Florida next year? Do you want to be able to do that?
Oh,
the year
I
after?
Do.
Do you want to be able to take them out for a month at a time? Like,
I
if you
do.
Want to do that,
I want to homeschool for a month. Can we do that?
We got to make.
You actually may be able to work with your school. I mean, when Jake was younger, every year when he was younger, I would take him at least on one of my international trips for a week or two every year.
Wow.
And just because I think it was travel is a great teacher. Experiencing multiple cultures is a great teacher. And so we would go and get the homework from the teachers.
Yeah.
We'd have to work with the school, but they were really good about it. It got harder when they're in, when they're starting to get into eighth grade and then high school. It obviously becomes harder. But when he was young, I took him everywhere and worked with him.
And I bet he learned more on those trips than you can ever
That's
learn in a week. Well,
experience
of
is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
experience
I don't even want to get
teacher.
Into like classes. Yeah. Like I wish I had a class that taught me how to do my girl's hair. Like really.
I got you, honey.
There's so many useless classes that I took in high school and college and whatnot. I wish there was a class that said, hey, this is how when you have 5-year-old girls and 6-year-old girls or whatever, this is how you do their hair for picture day. Or this is what you do. And they don't. don't really have those practical stuff.
Programs in high schools are actually becoming much more diverse and teaching different skills. I know Gracie just had to pick her classes yesterday for next year.
Wow, so, for next year already.
Yeah, so she's actually taking a photography class. She's taking an elective for that.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
There's some ceramics. Yeah. There's life skills that people can have.
That's good.
Well, they have so many different colleges now.
That's great, though.
Schools within schools. They have a school of business. They have a school of the STEM program, which is big. So, you know, some schools obviously different than others, but there's a lot of programs they can take.
And you can take college classes now in high school,
which
is just amazing. That you can actually graduate high school with college credits. You know,
Kyle, I'm going to interrupt you real quick.
Yeah, sure.
I just sent a check for Gracie to get 3 credits. She's a freshman at Kingsway.
That's fantastic.
Gracie has 3 college credits as a freshman? As a freshman in high school.
I mean, that's how
she's taking Spanish.
You cut down on your college bills in the biggest way when you're coming out already with so many credits ahead of time. But you know, there's one thing about reading about the Holocaust. But when I was able to take my son through Dachau, through Auschwitz, and be able to see and experience what that was all about, it's you know, history can be so boring when it's just kind of on paper.
Right.
But when you're there and you see and you know, we got to sit down with some of the people who survived that and be able to hear stories. And I do think, buddy, I think, you know, when we can help create that for our children, and it doesn't necessarily have to be through homeschooling. It can just be being intentional about engaging our children outside of a PlayStation world, outside of a Twitter social. I'm not talking about social media today. I'm just saying, you know, as parents, I think we need to be intentional about expanding their horizons. Because they think they have a global worldview because news is open to them globally, but they do not have global world experience, and those two things are very different.
Well, the fact is that YouTube is one of the greatest educators right now.
It's fantastic.
You're talking even college students; they learn most of their things
if you're using it correctly.
Well, there's a lot of educational things that are on YouTube, but college students are using that to learn techniques or to learn theories. So they're watching somebody else teach them besides maybe their professor.
Yeah.
But I know kids are watching that instead. My kids watch that instead of TV.
Yeah.
They want to watch gymnastics. They want to watch nail painting. They want to watch all these things.
And you can watch it on your TV by connecting it.
Phone, TV, computer, whatever it might be. So, you know, I think life changes all the time. And so as parents, I think the biggest thing is just to stay current with some of the hot topics, what our kids are going through. That's probably the
I'm really old school with that, though. I don't do YouTube at home. I don't do any, like, phones or anything like that. I'm very old school with that.
Well, your girls are 5.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no.
I think it's
good. Surprised.
I think it's good. No, with you. I think, I think it's good. I think there's
they want to watch YouTube and all that stuff. And I'm
of course they do.
Happening.
Totally.
I'll tell you that Lucy, as a 2-year-old, can turn on YouTube on the laptop.
Oh, yeah, they know how to.
Really?
Yeah, no doubt.
Pretty crazy.
She's getting smarter and smarter and smarter, but I still didn't learn how to do my girl's hair, so I'm still.
I'm sure there's a YouTube video.
You got to YouTube it, Rob.
Well, I did use YouTube the other day for the van. Remy's car door wouldn't open, so I just went on like, "How are you gonna figure this out?" Went on YouTube. Somebody had the same problem. Showed there was a button. That was it. Saved me a ton of time.
That is
watching a 2-minute video.
It all depends on how you
use it. All the time for something like that. All the time.
Hey, forget about reading the manual or anything else. We have 2 guests this week, guys. Minnesota Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins and Dave Fry, the lead singer for Sidewalk Prophets. They're going to join us. He'll be on for the Faith in the Field segment, which will be coming up in a bit. Kirk Cousins last year became the first NFL player to receive a fully guaranteed 3-year, $84 million contract. $84 million, fully guaranteed. But his season ended in disappointment with his team missing the playoffs, the Vikings losing to the Bears. It helped Eagles fans like yourselves because they got into the playoffs because of the misfortunes of Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. I chatted with Kirk during Super Bowl week, and I really loved his perspective. And he referenced Matthew 7, where Jesus uses the parable of the wise man building a house on rock for a solid foundation. So we're going to call this episode Brick by Brick, because building our lives on the foundation of Christ is really how we can avoid crumbling. We need to have a strong, firm foundation to survive. And just like that house, in any and all weather conditions are going to come, and you want to be able to face those storms and weather those storms and survive those storms. And we need to have a strong foundation to prevent us from crumbling. So if we build our lives on the foundation of Christ, if we put our lives on the foundation, if we put our hopes, if we put everything into the foundation of Christ, that's going to give us the security knowing that no matter how powerful that storm or how difficult the trial or how tough those circumstances, we're not going to crumble when we face that adversity, and we will stand strong, and we will survive the storm. And he can make our foundation, and we can make our foundation secure in him. And we can make our foundation secure in the Lord in several ways, like to help us when these moments, when we have to overcome the trials, those moments are going to come. And if we're studying the word, if we're putting it into practice in our daily lives, if we're trusting in the Lord, if we're putting our identity in him instead of putting it in others, and putting it in ourselves, putting it in our accomplishments, that's how we can continue to have this strong foundation that is built on the Lord. And it's going to take hard work. Like building a house is not going to happen in one day. And building a life that is based on a foundation of the Lord is not going to happen overnight. You got to do it brick by brick. And you have to take it one day at a time. But when Christ is central in our lives, our foundation will be rock solid. And we will have the ability to withstand anything that comes our way. Pastor Kyle?
Yeah, I love that. I love that scripture. And, you know, the Bible says a wise man builds his house upon the rock, in contrast to the foolish man who builds it on the sand. And I think he's wise because he knows the storm's coming. Mm-hmm. So he picks a foundation which can withstand the storms. I love acrostics. So I'm going to give you a real quick acrostic of kind of building on the rock. And this is simplistic, but I really do believe if we kind of just at least begin to build our lives on these foundations that it becomes stronger. You know, we need to read the word, right? Because the word is it reveals God. It's God's love letter to us. Yeah. You know, it's not, I hear it all the time. Well, it's God's manual. It's God's God. No, it's God's love letter. And the more that we understand that God loves us, the more that we understand that because he loves us, he'll never let the storm overtake us, right? So we need to read the word. It's God's love. We need to obey the word, not so that we deserve God to bring anything into our life, but actually so that we continue to position ourselves in relationship with that love, with God. Obey the word. So we read the word, we obey the word, we commune with the word. That is constantly with the word, capital W, right? Yeah. Jesus, keep that communion going. He's not my ATM that I go to when I need to withdraw something. He's my, in this picture, he's my groom. He's my spouse. He's the one that I need to stay in relationship with, and I get to stay in relationship with. And the more that I commune with him, the more that I understand the love that he has.
Explain that term, the communal term.
Yeah. I mean, commune actually just means to have an intimate relationship with someone. Yeah. Commune, the word commune is the foundational word for community, right? Community is living out, a common sense of unity. So community is living out a common sense of unity, and communing is continuing to live in unity with someone.
Yeah.
So when I commune with Christ, it's prayer, it's talking, it's including Jesus in every part of my life and day. It's not just running to him when I have a need. It's actually making sure that, I text, we've been doing this, during the show, I'm still texting Danielle, right? On our breaks. Right. How you doing, babe? Love you. Hey, things going on. Well, I want to stay in communion with her throughout the day. Right. It's the same way with Jesus. So if we can do that, we continue to express our love and have love expressed back, and then keep showing up for the word. The word is active all the time. Again, Jesus is active all the time in our life, all around us. Keep showing up where he is, in what he is doing, in what his priority is. Keep showing up for your destiny. Keep showing up for your marriage. Keep showing up at the house of God. Keep showing up in the word of God. Keep showing up in just keep showing up. People ask me all the time, you know, how do you get to do all these things that you get to do? I just kept showing up.
Right.
I'm not any more special than anyone else. At the end of the day, man, there are days that I didn't want to show up, and I just kept showing up. There's days that I couldn't wait to show up. This is awesome. Yeah. I just kept showing up. It's the same way, just like with marriage. Man, if, you know, your marriages are going to have good days, they're going to have bad days, they're going to have neutral days. You don't just show up on the good days. You show up all the time. So if we can continue to kind of read the word so that we understand his love, we can obey the word, expressing our love back for him. We can commune with the word, keep that unity of love, and then we can keep showing up for the word. We're interacting by activating that love in every activity. Then love wins the day. What does John say in 1 John 4:18? It's perfect love that casts out all fear, right? Yeah. It's just perfect love that casts out all fear.
That's beautiful. You know, Kyle, I love this topic when you're talking about brick by brick, but some advice that we've gotten from our own marriage and marriage conferences and just some real good advice is, you know, it depends on what kind of brick you're laying down.
Truth.
Because I think in some cases we've, in our own marriage, my own marriage, I've laid bricks that have been divisive, Absolutely. build up a wall that didn't allow us to communicate the right way. And so each day, what am I going to feed into? Am I going to lay down a brick that's possibly going to separate the closeness of me and my wife, or am I going to lay down a brick that's going to secure
that's
us
good.
In, that's yep. going to wall yeah. us in? I think we do the same thing with God. What kind of bricks are we laying down for God, or what kind of bricks are we laying down that's going to separate our relationship, whether it comes from sin, which is a big separator
right.
in a relationship,
absolutely,
or is it going to be something that's going to draw us closer? So, you know, brick by brick, it's not going to be overnight that all of a sudden, oh,
no,
this is going to be
not.
Great.
Yeah.
Line
but
upon line, precept upon precept. Yeah. That's how
each day, think about the end of the day, and yeah. did your good bricks outweigh your bad bricks,
yeah.
maybe?
Yeah, because you, you can use those bricks to build a wall.
Absolutely.
Instead of building your house on
a bridge.
The foundation of Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, or building a brick. You're building a wall that separates you from God, that separates you from your wife or your spouse or someone else. So that's why it's important, as you're saying, like building the right bricks.
The problem with the bricks are that it's really hard to tear down, too.
Oh yeah!
Right? So when we lay down those bricks
yes.
to to in communication, it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden, okay, this wall is down, and but I asked for forgiveness. Don't you forgive me? It's like yeah, but we still got to tear down this brick and get it, you know, do some demo and get it.
But Jeremiah, but God says in Jeremiah, I've given you the power to uproot and to tear down, to build and to plant. So the power for all that, see, that's the lie the enemy will tell us, is that, well, we've already laid some really bad bricks. But God's given you the power to uproot and tear down, to uproot the weeds that are in there and to tear down the bad bricks.
Yeah.
Right. And the power then, also in the same verse, to build and to plant. So you're right. You're right, Doug. Absolutely. We, you know, just because we're human, we're going to plant bad seeds sometimes. We're going to plant, we're going to lay bad brick.
Yeah.
But we don't have to give in to the fact, well, I guess we're just going to have to move on. No. Tear that out. Uproot it. Rip it down. You know, I will continue to say, I know, modern philosophy will always say, the greatest tool for a marriage is communication. And I will say, no, marriage is not built on great communication. They're built on forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So I can, right? The number one thing that keeps marriages together is forgiveness, a spirit of forgiveness. It's actually the foundation for our relationship with God. If it's our foundation for our relationship with God, it's our foundation for every relationship.
Right?
I can be the best communicator in my life, but if I don't forgive,
come on,
I'm going to be communicating
That's
on
so
forgiveness.
True.
But if I'm the worst communicator, but I forgive, I guarantee you there's help.
Well, the problem in my marriage before was that we communicated absolutely fine.
Yeah.
We were just sending the wrong message.
Yeah, exactly what I'm saying.
Our communication was perfect. It was just, what message am I trying to send?
Like,
and I delivered that poor message very, very well at times.
Well, honestly, when I was thinking about this topic, God kept saying to me, surrendering.
Yeah.
It's all about surrendering.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's because I'm a control freak, so he gave me surrender. And he's kind of like, think about it. I mean, you're a control freak.
Yeah.
Seriously, you want to control everything. Chill out. You got to surrender. And every time I think back to like when we first got married and have kids and all that, I had to surrender so much. Like I had to surrender completely to God.
Everything.
Just completely surrender.
Yep.
So the control freak need to like calm down. And God needs to come in and be like, all right, let's build this house the right way. I have to be in control and you need to chill out.
Absolutely.
And I think that's how you build brick by brick. You really have to completely let it go. Completely say, God, take this pressure off of me. It's not me, it's you.
Yes.
It's not me. I'm going to take this pressure off of me because I'm not just a control freak. I kind of want everything to be perfect. So I want my marriage to be perfect. I want my kids to be perfect. I want to look perfect. I want my house to look perfect. I want everything to be perfection.
Yeah.
And in perfection, you can't build so much on your own. Mm. You really can't. Perfection kills you in the end, and it drives you
insane. Because it's an illusion.
It's
an illusion.
Yeah.
You'll never be perfect enough. It's
interesting,
Remy. You know, Ephesians 5, we always get to the, and wives submit to your husbands, but we forget the very first part of that says submit to each other out of love for Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And that very concept of submitting, the Greek word pillars underneath of a bridge, it's something that holds something else up so that the purpose of what that thing is designed for can be lived out.
Right.
It's not just wives have to do that for husbands, it's husbands for wives. And because we love Jesus, we do that for the kingdom.
Right.
So how do we get under what God has for our marriage? How do we get under what God has for our spouse? How do we get under what God has for our neighborhood, our church, and actually begin to carry that, allow that dream to be lived out.
Right.
And that's where surrender comes in.
Surrender.
We got to get under it.
Yep.
So
the idea of surrender is scary because if you are a control freak and you're giving someone else that control, it's scary.
Absolutely.
You're no longer in control. You no longer can do things your way. You're, or you can to some certain extent, to a certain degree, But ultimate surrender, sometimes, see, we want a halfway surrender.
Yeah.
We want to go in a little bit, but not all the way. See, like, Lord, you can control this part of my life, but I still got this part okay. I can still handle this. You know what? I don't need you messing with me here because I think I have it on my own.
Right.
So I can handle my marriage. I need you to handle my kids. Or I can handle my kids. I need you to help me with. It's complete surrender, and it's complete
100%
full, giving over that full control. And when you can do that, it allows you to build those positive bricks.
Yeah, I think that's what he means by the rock, right? I mean, if you kind of leave it on sand, it kind of shifts around a little bit.
Absolutely.
You know, but when we think about Kirk Cousins, I mean, signs this huge contract, comes into a team that has high expectations, you know, and you get stuff thrown at you, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you're getting things that if your foundation is not strong, you're going to be demolished. And even though it hurts, even though it's painful, it makes you question things. If your foundation is, as he says, then you're able to endure. But the storms will come.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And we can't forget that, you know, you need to build a foundation that's going to withstand those storms over time.
Well, coming up next, we're going to hear from Minnesota Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at cairn.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle, Doug, and Remy. Kirk Cousins was a fourth-round pick by the Washington Redskins in 2012, the same year they drafted Robert Griffin III in the first round. RG3 went on to have an excellent rookie season, led the Redskins to the playoffs, but he injured his knee at the end of the year and in the playoffs, and he hasn't been the same guy since. Last year was back in the NFL with the Baltimore Ravens as a number three quarterback, but Kirk Cousins eventually became the starter in Washington in 2015. He led the Redskins to the playoffs that year. He threw for almost 5,000 yards in 2016, went to the Pro Bowl that season, and then last March, Kirk Cousins received a historic contract from the Minnesota Vikings, the first fully guaranteed contract in the NFL, 3 years, $84 million. I had an opportunity to chat with Kirk Cousins at the Super Bowl. Here is that interview brought to you by Heritage's Dairy Stores.
How do you evaluate your season personally? Obviously, you get that contract. There's a lot of pressure put on your shoulders. It didn't go the way you guys wanted. When you look back, every quarterback, every player looks back at their season and tries to evaluate, hey, I could do this better, I could do that better. How do you look back and where do you go from here?
I was frustrated with the way the season ended. I felt that we had a lot of pieces in place, had a really good team, and showed flashes of that throughout the year. But disappointing to not be in the playoffs and to come as close as we did to getting in the playoffs. So I've been very frustrated. It's been hard for me watching the playoffs at home, and you know, the month of January has been a tough month. You know, I haven't been sleeping as well at night, and it's just been tough as you replay those moments throughout the season that could have been better, could have been different. And you know, we're just now starting to turn the page, trying to look towards next season and what we have to do to put this thing together the right way for next year. But it certainly has been a tough few weeks walking away from the season feeling frustrated about how it went.
Well, as a brother in Christ, as a man of faith, how do you rely on the Lord to help you through those times? Because even though we all go through storms, and they may be different for different people, that's considered a storm, a chapter in your life that was difficult. How do you rely on Him to get you through it?
Yeah, you know, we all go through different storms, and you know, we have professional ones. And in my case, my professional storms tend to be a little more public and on a bigger stage, but they're my job nonetheless, like anyone else. And, you know, when the things don't go professionally the way you want them to, it can be frustrating. And it's a competitive business, and not everything's going to go your way. So you do understand that the Lord uses it all for our good and to tell a story and for His glory. And so I look forward to seeing that story unfold in the next few months, in the next few years. And I do believe that He has a reason for why things happen. And I trust Him for that. But I do work really hard to hopefully allow for a lot of success on the field going forward.
I'll say this to you. your identity doesn't lie in your accomplishments. Win or lose, you know your identity is rooted in Christ. Is that something that it's difficult from sometimes when you go through these stuff, it's difficult, but ultimately you know, hey, my relationship with the Lord is bigger than wins or losses and everything else. Does that help you through that?
Well, at the end of the day, that's the foundation of my life. And, you know, Jesus talks in Matthew about, you know, building your home on the sand, you're making the foundation of your life. As opposed to when you build on the sand, you know, the storms come and the house crumbles. And so storms are going to come in our lives. And I want to make sure that at the end of the day, my life is built on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And certainly the storms can be frustrating. You know, you can have regrets. But at the end of the day, there's an inner peace that I believe the Lord is using that, you know, for my good, for His glory. And ultimately, for an eternal perspective, that there's good things in store. So I trust Him. He's on the throne of my life, and that's an everyday battle, you know, in terms of finding your identity and other things in life. There are temptations all the time, but I have to remind myself of the truth of God's Word and anchor myself in Him.
How do you use maybe your, not necessarily your influence, but your platform as being someone who's unashamed to show that, hey, I stand up for Christ? How important is it to use that platform, what you have, to impress upon other people that this is the basis of who I am, and this is available to you? God's grace is available to you as well.
Well, I just want it to be natural. You know, I don't want it to be forced. I want, whether it's teammates or fans who may hear my story and hear me share my faith, I want them to hear it in a way that's genuine and authentic and not fake or forced. And I want to make sure I'm the real deal, that I'm not a hypocrite or talking one thing and then doing another. But, you know, I also want to be a great football player. I understand that, you know, any message I may share, whether it's faith or not, it's going to be better listened to, better heard if you're playing well and winning. And so I understand I want to, you know, be successful at what I'm doing on the field as well. But certainly, you know, I believe I'm called to share my faith and to ultimately walk the walk and not just talk the talk and shine my light. And so that's certainly a focus of mine as I play. And it's a God-given platform that not everyone has, and I want to steward it correctly.
Kirk, this was fun. I really appreciate your time and you sharing about the Lord with me. Thank you so much.
Absolutely enjoyed it. Thank you.
And that was Kirk Cousins, brought to you by Heritage's Dairy Stores. We talk a lot about Kirk Cousins, the football player, and I know what the perception is of him in Philadelphia, because they were really happy to see him go through those struggles at the end of the season. But I got to tell you, just getting an opportunity to sit down there in Atlanta, I actually had to go to, I went completely out of my way that day. So it was the day I flew in 6 o'clock in the morning. I got up, 4 o'clock in the morning. I got up, got to the airport at 6, sat on a plane for an hour, didn't take off. They kicked us off the plane eventually because of an engine failure, which I'm completely fine with. I don't want you to fly with engine issues. I get to Atlanta. I get to my hotel. I go down to Radio Row. I get all my stuff. I do a show. Now we got all this. I'm starving. I'm hungry. I got this opportunity to interview Kirk Cousins. I didn't feel like going to the place, the event. I was like, you know what? Nah. Then I'm like, well, this is an opportunity to chat with Kirk, and I'm going to suck it up and get the Uber, and I'm wandering around. I don't know where I am. One thing about those Ubers in Atlanta, they kind of smell like a substance that made me feel pretty weird, but that's okay. That's okay. So I get there, and Kirk couldn't have been more gracious, just couldn't speak to a better dude, and he really has his like perspective right. And when you talk about what he went through, he admittedly said this season was frustrating for him, but his identity is in Christ. And we often on this show talk about having your identity in Christ, not in your accomplishments, not in winning a Super Bowl, not in winning a World Series, not in what you do, not in who says anything about you. But if it's rooted in Christ, when you are Kirk Cousins or you are anyone else with the pressure of success and the pressure of living up to this historic contract comes up and you fail to live up to those expectations, you don't crumble. You don't crumble, because his foundation is in the Lord, and it's been built for him brick by brick, and he's able to endure and get through it.
You know, he had a really good beginning of the season. You know, when they started off, they were really hot, and Adam Thielen was what, the leading receiver in, yep, in the NFL at
like
that
time. 9 games in a row, yeah, 10 games in like 100 yards, like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I know when they were in Philadelphia, Rob, we worked that game together, and they torched the Eagles, right? And they were riding high. And then, you know, it does say something when you see somebody having success and then you're happy for their failure.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, maybe as a fan, you tend to think that way. And that is a negative perception that we shouldn't have. Right. And, you know, I guess as knowing that he's a fellow believer, that we should not glory in his demise so much.
So
even
if
even as an Eagles fan.
You're an Eagle
fan
out there or any other fan taking shots at Kirk Cousins, you go to church on Sunday and living in the Word every day. Hey, think about it.
So we're out there to challenge you guys that, you know, when you're sitting there and you're rooting against certain guys.
Doug's
like
talking to himself right
at least
now.
Maybe a little bit. But keep it on the field. Right, but
always
but
the
don't
field.
Attack them as people.
You can never get
personal. I think that's it's a good lesson though, because we do put these guys in such a spotlight, and we look at the contract and maybe resent them for that, or they're not playing up to that. But it's just a matter of perspective, and just understand they're human beings too.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I totally agree with you, Doug. I think, you know, we always have, we're so used to being able to just talk about people in general without any filter. And yet recognizing that they are husbands, they're
people.
Many of them are dads, mm-hmm. they're people. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've heard some of the guys talk about, man, my kid had to read that.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you know, just because, and I hear people talk about all the time, well, they're public figures, so it comes with the territory. Well, no, it doesn't. Your critique of my play, Ken, your critique of my person, it is not in that same. In that same league. So I just always think that we need to steward those things well and speak life.
You know, Rob, it is a credit to what you're doing as a profession, because the media can be worse than the fans can. You know, and, you've heard it, from the back. And you've actually texted us on times where you've been really frustrated, where media is saying things that just aren't even valid.
Yeah.
Made up.
Yeah, they've done that quite a bit. And sometimes it's... You have to try and like separate the emotion out of it, because
right.
like the first inclination and the first reaction is to be like, you jackhole, I want to like knock this dude out, and it's like, well, what good is that? Kirk also talks about like we all go through the professional storms.
Mm-hmm.
That was a professional storm for him. We have personal storms, mm-hmm. and all of those, whether they're professional, whether they're personal, no matter what kind of storm it is. You have that inner peace through Christ, and that's one of those things where I try and convey as often as I can to people when they say, you always seem so calm and happy. Well, Remy can probably say, not true, not really. You haven't seen him at home all the time.
No idea.
You have no idea, but like in the general scope of things.
He's a cool guy.
I try and be calm and happy, and I'm like, well, it's not because of anything I have. Because you don't know what I don't have. You have no idea what is going on. But I try and be calm and happy, and I have this joy and this inner peace because of Christ. So that's where I get my inner peace from, and I saw that in Kirk. I saw a guy who can sit there and tackle the adversity because he genuinely has this inner peace about him through Christ. So it's so important that if we have that, man, if we have that, nothing is going to crumble. Nothing is going to make us crumble. Nothing is going to make us go down. Nothing is going to make us suffer.
But you know, when you look back on Kirk's career, even when he was in high school, one of the first games that he was able to play, he broke his leg.
Wow.
When he was in high school. And so you think about all the trials and tribulations that you have throughout your career, injuries that you potentially
Absolutely.
Would have. Like this
That's
adversity
a tough one.
Isn't it the first time he's ever faced adversity,
exactly
right? So
exactly.
when we're talking about brick by brick and building your foundation, like, listen, this is laid a long time ago. And maybe God, through that broken leg when he was in high school, started to prepare him for moments like this. So he could, you know, sign this contract and talk to guys and say, hey, listen, I've been through stuff before. This isn't the first time I face adversity.
Absolutely
so,
right.
you know, think about the whole scope of your life and what God's prepared you for through some trials and tribulations.
God never wastes a storm.
Nope.
He just doesn't, you know, he's never going to waste a storm in your life. And, you know, there's the great moment where, you know, Jesus sends his disciples out in the boat and they're rowing and rowing and rowing, trying really hard to do it themselves and can't, they're afraid they're going to die.
So that's where row, 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 your boat came from, right?
So that was the first thing. It says a row, 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 your boat. And then,
it's
you know,
biblical.
He shows up in the midst of it, in a powerful way. We know the story, and, and stops the wind and the waves in the middle of it. And when they get to the other side, the revelation that those guys have of Jesus is completely different at the end of that storm than when they got in the boat before. Now, they knew Jesus before. It's not that they didn't know him.
Right.
That there's a deeper revelation of who he is on the opposite side of that storm. God never wastes a storm. Yeah. So that's, you know, whether it's in high school or college or in marriage or in professional life, personal life, the end of that, it doesn't feel good when, you know, I'm sure they got blisters rowing those oars. I'm sure they got sweaty. I'm sure they got tired. I'm sure their muscles ached. Right. In the moment, it did not feel good. But God says, I will work all things out for your good. He does not say, I'll work all things out so that they feel good. And God's idea of good and our idea of good are not always the same.
Sometimes they're not always in the sync. And then that's Romans 8:28, which is, I've always said, it's a Hall of Fame Bible verse. One other thing that Kirk talks about there, and I love this when I asked him about the platform, is he wants it to be, to use that platform, he wants it to be natural, not forced, genuine, and authentic. And sharing the way, what he uses the terminology, which I use all the time, walk your walk. Don't just talk your talk. Walk your walk, because when you have that platform, when you're elevated like Kirk Cousins is, you have an incredible platform to share the word. But he wants it to be authentic, and people can see phony. People can read through phony. You could smell it a little bit. Phony's got a smell. It's got a sense. It's got a taste. It's got that. So he talks about being authentic, and I think that's so important, that when we're trying to utilize whatever platform that God's given us, have it come from the heart. Have it be genuine. Don't have it be forced, because if it's forced, it may not have any powerful effect on anybody at all. Coming up next, we'll hear from Dave Fry, lead singer for Sidewalk Prophets. This is Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest, coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle, Doug, and Remy. If you missed any of our previous episodes, Doug will tell you how to catch up.
Yeah, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. Find every past episode. Listen anytime at your convenience. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and like us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. And make sure you sign up for our weekly email list, get our weekly episode and our blog delivered right to your inbox every week.
It is time now for our Faith in the Field segment. We haven't had one in a few weeks. Dave Fry is the lead singer for Sidewalk Prophets. They're going to kick off the Simple Truths Tour on March 16 in Springfield, Massachusetts, which is home of the NBA Hall of Fame.
There you go.
And then they're going to be in Sewell, New Jersey at Doug's Church, Fellowship Bible Church, Pastor Phil Moser, on March 24. Doug got a chance to grab a bat, jump into the batter's box, pinch hit for me, and this was your first solo interview.
First solo interview.
He chatted with Dave Fry about his music, his tour, his faith. Here is that interview brought to you by Heritage's Dairy Stores.
Hey, we're here with David Fry, and it's great to have you with us, David.
Yeah, excited to be here.
Dave is the lead singer for Sidewalk Prophets, a great band that's going to be coming to our area over the month of March. And Dave, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But can you just kind of tell about your time when you attended Anderson University and how you got started with Sidewalk Prophets?
Sure. You know, to be a part of a band was always a dream of mine. I wanted to grow up to be one of two things. I either wanted to be a play for the Chicago Cubs or be a musician. And God took me to the music route, and I'm grateful. I grew up going to school there, you know, there at Anderson, blessed to go to a little Christian college. I think, you know, Steve Curtis Chapman, Bill and Gloria Gaither, some great, great musicians had come through that school. But I studied English. Like, I was just an English ed major. And, I was grateful when my buddy Ben walked down the hallway asking if people, wanted to start a band. And so that's what we did. You know, we were just one of those dorm bands. He taped a microphone to the ceiling of our dorm room and started writing songs together. And it was back when Napster
you know, illegal file sharing was not illegal yet. It was just
right.
And that was huge for us because we got to share across all the dorms on campus, and people started playing our dorm recordings and loving it. And we realized, man, maybe this is more than just a hobby. Maybe we can go to do these church camps. Maybe we can go to these coffee shops. And we slowly started to play more and more live performances, and we were blessed. We were actually the first band on the student-led record label there at Anderson University. They were trying out this record label class, and we were the band that they were kind of the guinea pigs, but it was so awesome. We got to record our first album at Bill and Gloria Gaither Studios in Alexandria, Indiana, and, you know, and just, it just kind of catapulted us into this idea that, like I said, maybe this is more than a hobby. Maybe God has something for us here, that this is a calling, and we should, you know, move to Nashville and try to support it.
Well, and I know God's continued to move in your life, and as we were talking, you just got back from a marriage cruise, and you're currently in studio recording some new songs. So what do you have on the, you know, kind of a breaking news, what do you have on the horizon, and what can we expect from Sidewalk Prophets coming up?
Yeah, man, this is fun to kind of look back, and the dream was to have one song on the radio, and now we've had, you know, 10 to 12 that were hits, and we keep on keeping on. The cruise, like, to go from a coffee shop to being one of the headliners on the cruise is just, you know, it's kind of surreal. But and at the same time, it's really exciting to go back in the studio. It's been about 3 years since our last album came out. So today we literally are. I'm sitting right outside the studio doors getting ready to go back in and record the second song for the album. We finished the first, and now we're moving on to song two. And so, man, that's one of my favorite things, is to get in. We've already written these songs, you know, for the last 2 years we've been writing, and finally we get to put them down, you know, record them officially, and it's really exciting, man. Just the band sounds great, and I can't wait to release some new stuff for people to consume and hear what God's been doing in our hearts.
Well, that's really awesome. Now, for all the songs that you've had out there in the past, you know, you've been outspoken about the impact that your family's had on your songwriting and how that's kind of shaped your perspective. Can you just talk a little bit about how family's played a role in your life and how that's led you to come up with the words that have formed those songs?
You know, certainly when we go in to write a song, we always have the Bible with us, you know, just in case we need to plagiarize, you know, some Paul. The Bible has so many good things to kind of give you that jumping point. But a lot of times it's just what's in your heart? What stories are you carrying with you? What have you experienced? And a lot of times when you unpack it, you realize everybody else has been experiencing those same things that you thought were so unique to you. People can connect to those real and genuine stories. And, you know, our first single, Words I Would Say, was based upon my granddad. He was a World War II veteran, amazing man of God. He taught me what love really looks like. You know, through thick and thin, through good times and bad, my granddad was always there with wisdom and love. And so I got a phone call here in Nashville that he was passing away back in Indiana. And it was about 3 a.m. And rather than rush through the night, I remember I had to put my pen, I had to go and grab a pen and some paper because I was so worried that I would get into a car wreck if I just took off then. Like, I wanted to go see him so bad, but I knew that if I calmed myself, if I wrote down a letter to, you know, I wrote exactly what he meant to me, all these things, and it was more than a letter. It was really just this prayer, and it calmed my spirit enough that once I was done, I grabbed that letter up, I drove through the night, and I got to say goodbye to him, and it was a powerful moment. I made it just in time before he passed away. I got to read him that letter, and it was just a great reminder that, you know, this is what we have. This day is the day the Lord has made. You know, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, so we got to use it to let those around us know how much we love them and how much God loves them. And so my family has been, yeah, absolutely a huge part. You know, just I got married a year and 9 months ago, and so
congratulations
now, you know,
on that. Yeah,
I'm influential song for my wife now, and so it's kind of been a fun journey just to see when you're just real, when you're just telling stories and things that have impacted you and how God's been working through you. A lot of times people connect because they're going through a lot of the same stuff.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, just being able to share your testimony through song, it's just amazing when people can understand the background to what allowed those words to be written. So,
sure.
Yeah, we really appreciate you sharing.
No problem.
You know, Faith in the Field, we love those testimonies and giving people a platform to share. But, you know, you are a sports fan, too. So I think we need to spend some time talking about that. And you gave some Super Bowl predictions a couple weeks ago. You know, you're not really a Tom Brady fan, right?
You could say that. You could say it borderlines, you know, I've never met the guy, but I don't know. You know, I think I would shake Tom Brady's hand, but I'm not sure I would shake Bill Belichick. Like, I think that's where I draw the line. But yeah, no, I'm a Colts fan. So there's a deep-seated jealousy / anger, you know, there. So.
So you would say that maybe Peyton Manning would be the greatest of all time then, right?
I believe that's undoubtedly. So, you know, if you look at the handsomeness factor, the charisma, arm, he's definitely the greatest quarterback of all time. So, I really do. I loved the Patriots Colts battles, which often ended in Colts sadness, but we did beat them that one time, you know, and that's the time we're going to hold on to.
Well, you know, in Philadelphia, we were considering that the Super Bowl this past year was just so bad that we're just going to continue to call the Eagles the champs for another year. So
I would concur. I totally would concur. If that's what the Super Bowl entails, then the Eagles are definitely still champs in my book. You know, I think that was, you know, as a Colts fan, if your team loses, the next greatest thing is if the Patriots lose. That's your second victory. And so, yeah, everybody in the world, I think, was a diehard Eagles fan that the day that they won the Super Bowl. And, you know, I continue to be because of that. You know, the Giants beat them too. So I'm kind of, I'm you know, a little inclined to root for them as well. But yeah, man, I was grateful when Nick Foles held up that trophy. It was great.
Well, you know, you got some redemption too, just with the Cubs winning some World Series.
That's right.
You know,
yeah,
I got
the same year that the Cubs won the series, I got to go to the games. And I brought my wife to Game 5, which was the last one at Wrigley, and they didn't stop winning after my wife went to Wrigley Field. So I think she's not just a good luck charm, but a good life charm. And she helped the Cubs win, and that's not a bad thing, man. It was a lot of fun. That was one of the most fun years of my life, for sure.
Well, that's great. And, you know, we really enjoy the platform that musicians have and athletes have in order to share their faith and just tell their story to glorify God. Talking about the Simple Truths tours that's coming up, you know, we're partnering with the Lighthouse Events that want to promote these concerts that are coming to the Northeast area. You'll be going from March 16th starting in Massachusetts and coming all the way down to Sewell, New Jersey on March 24th. So you're about to record and you're about to hit the road. So can you just talk about that tour for a little bit?
Yeah, you know, These Simple Truths was our very first album. That was the name of our album. It had Words I Would Say on it, and You Love Me Anyway, a lot of our big hit songs, and it's turning 10 years old, which is hard to believe, man. You blink your eye and a decade passes, and so we wanted to commemorate that album, but it's more than just that album. One of our favorite things to do, I mean, we grew up performing in the dorm for our friends. Like I said before, we want to bring that kind of, you know, closeness, familyness together. You know, we want to kind of make it feel like a family room when you walk in and just tell stories about songs you might have heard on the radio, songs you might not know. We might give some sneak peeks of this brand new album that we're recording. But we just want to, we want people to come and feel like they're a part of something that's a part of community. We want you to feel connected. And The Simple Truths Tour is going to be laid-back acoustic awesomeness, is what I like to say. We get to tell stories and have a great, great time. And, I promise you won't regret it, man. If you bring yourself, bring the whole family. And we love coming to the Northeast. We don't get to do it enough. But yeah, from Massachusetts up to Maine, back down to Jersey, man, we're going to be all over the place. And we're really looking forward to people coming out and spending some time.
Well, if you guys want to get tickets, you can go to thelighthouseevents.com, and you'll be able to get tickets for any of those shows that are throughout the Northeast. And you'll be in our area in Clark Summit on March 23rd, and then you'll be ending the tour March 24th at Fellowship Bible Church in Sewell, New Jersey. And we will be attending that, Dave, so we look forward to meeting you, and Faith and Field will be a part of that, and we'll continue to push it out. But we thank you for a few minutes, and good luck with the rest of your recording.
Thanks so much, Doug. I appreciate you, and so excited to let everybody out there know, man, just to keep being strong in the Lord, not giving up hope, and just know that when you feel like you're on your own, that you're really not. God's right there by your side. He's just waiting for you to reach out your arms to Him. So hope to get up to the Northeast and spread some love and bring some joy to all the folks, man. We can't wait to get up there.
Well, thanks for joining us on Faith in the Field, Dave. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
That was Dave Fry, lead singer for Sidewalk Prophets, brought to you by Heritage's Dairy Stores. The Sidewalk Prophets will be at Fellowship Bible Church on March 24. Get your tickets at the Lighthouse thelighthouseevents.com, thelighthouseevents.com. And Doug, this is a valid code right now, huh? This is great.
Use
the code FOTF for 10% off your ticket purchase. So you're going to be there. You and a family are going to be there. It's your church,
we're going to set up another Faith on the Field booth there like we did for Chad Mattson and Unspoken before, which was a great time.
Beautiful. So awesome. You're going to have some books?
We'll have some Birds of Prey books. So you
I'll pre-sign them, though. I'll still be in Florida.
You'll still be in Florida, but it's a great time just to meet some people that are out there, some fans, and just help promote this concert that's just going to be great.
Awesome, and we're also going to do – you're going to do a ticket giveaway, so check out our social media pages for all the contest rules. I want to shout out all of our listeners and followers. Thank you so much for making us be here, for helping us grow, for everything you do to support the show. Big thanks to our guest today, Kirk Cousins and Dave Fry. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, blog, everything that he does to make us present better. Thank you to Jim Henderson. He does phenomenal work behind the scenes for us. Thanks to our wives for allowing us the time to be here. In your case, Remy, you are here.
Thank you
for joining us. Thanks to Brett Kronberger, Ryan Lennox for a fantastic job producing the show. Thank you to all of our sponsors, 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Enjoy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field show, presented by Karen University. For Kyle, Doug, and Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.